Father, as we consider your word, we ask you to speak to us from it. May it become part of us. May it take hold of us and grip us and not let us go. In Jesus' name. Our first reading this morning, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a statement of fact. Does anyone know how he created the heavens and the earth? Other than Philip. God said. God spoke. God said, let there be light. And it was so. God created the heavens and the earth by the power of his word. Now, in the Greek, and you'll have to excuse me for going back to the Greek, but I love it. In the Greek, there is the word logos. And a good translation of that is the verbal expression of the mind of God. God said it. And it became actuality. God said to Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat of it, you will die. And it was so. God said to Noah, build me an ark, because I'm going to destroy the earth and everything on it. And it was so. God said to Abraham, I will give you a son in your old age. And it was so. God spoke, and it came to pass. The power of the word of God, the verbal expression of the mind of God. Can anyone read that? It says, en arche, en hologos, kai hologos, en pros ton theon, kathios en hologos. What does that mean?
In the beginning was the world, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Yeah. The logos. The verbal expression of the mind of God. In the beginning was the word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, says John. Now, you've probably heard around the traps that there's another little Greek word that is often used called rhema. Now, what is rhema? If logos is word, what's rhema? Rhema has the sense of the personal revelation of the verbal expression of the mind of God. To put it in practical terms, we'll look at logos in Australia. In the natural sense, the law. The logos says you must do 60 kilometres an hour in a 60 area, doesn't it? What's to stop you breaking that law? You can do 100 kilometres an hour in a 60 area, can't you? I can. Until I get the personal revelation of that law. And that personal revelation is or something like that, as a car comes up behind me with blue lights. That's when the logos has teeth and becomes the personal revelation. It becomes very personal to me then, when a policeman pulls me over and says, you were exceeding the speed limit. Now, according to the law, you have to pay a penalty. You see, God's word is like that too. There's the logos, and there's the logos with teeth, or the personal revelation of it. Now, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, he was taken out into the desert. And he responded to Satan with, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh from the mouth of God. Interesting usage there. It's not logos. It's rhema. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, rhema, personal revelation of the verbal expression of the mind of God. That's what guides us. As God's word becomes real to us. Now, interesting usage of the word rhema in modern Greek is rhema, which means electricity. How often have you been reading the Bible and something's just jumped out and grabbed you? That's when God takes the logos, his law, and makes it personal to you, gives it teeth, and it becomes very real and very personal to you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then in Hebrews, and I'll just flick over to it here. Sorry, Romans. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, when you came to faith, you came to faith because God's word became alive to you. It may have been a long time ago, it may have been recent. But God's word, his logos, became real to you and became personal revelation to you, and you came to faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, it's very rare to get that personal revelation if you don't spend time in the Logos. Because how can God reveal himself to you and his word to you if you're not having anything to do with it? That's good to read the word of God, even if you don't understand it, because there'll be times God will take what you're reading and just suddenly hit you with it, and it'll become part of you. And when it becomes part of you, nothing can take it away. That's why it says in Ephesians, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is in the weapons of spiritual warfare. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, that's not picking up a Bible and bashing someone around with it. It's not Logos. It's Rhema. That's what the sword of the Spirit is. It's what God has taken from his word and made personal to you and given it teeth. And it grips you. And it holds you. And it empowers you. So that you can then take what God has given you and you can give out to others from what God has fed you. And that's how we grow. And that's how we become a church. That's how we become a group of people who have a common theme and a common purpose. And that's how the kingdom of God grows as a result of God's people. And it's a lifetime commitment. But by golly, it's worth it.